Welcome to the Real Big Horror Cast. I'm your devilishly handsome host, Michael Petrelli, your sorcerer supreme for the evening's discussion. I'm joined, reluctantly, by the ever-so-opinionated Brad Slayton. Bradley, how are you?
I'm stupendous.
And the son of celluloid himself, the man making a run at Justin Bieber and size YouTube views. If only we could get him to do Gangnam Style. Mr. Nathan Hamilton, what's up, dude?
That's not happening. What's up, everybody? Son of Celluloid, Celluloid Central, ready to talk some horror movies, man.
All right, so as we always do, the rules. An occult film is a movie dealing with the practices, phenomenon, and magical beliefs as it pertains to witchery, black magic, Satanism, and voodoo. These subjects manifest themselves in many ways throughout the years, and we will try and break down the longevity and popularity of this most sacred of horror genres. So, guys, the devil, good or bad?
Hail Satan.
I think I just confused the both of you as quickly as possible. It was great.
Hail Satan. That's all I have to say. Are you talking in general or for movies?
I'm just kidding with that one.
The devil has all the good music.
The devil does have all the good music. I mean,
Andy wears Prada.
He does.
I don't know why we keep saying he. I'm pretty damn sure the devil's a woman.
I'm staying out of religion after the jihad that's been called on me, so.
Yeah.
That might be a good idea.
We should probably stick to the occult at this point. So
you and fucking Salman Rushdie, man.
Good Lord. They all have guns.
You're an esteemed company.
So why do cinema audiences love the occult so much?
I don't think they do. I think horror fans do, but like, I know my parents probably don't. Jim Baker probably doesn't.
I met him one time. He's a dick.
I don't think they do. I think they like the nice prepackaged, sanitized, get a toy in this box occult, but they don't love like the down and dirty and grungy Sherry Moon Zombie burying her ass while she's smoking crack occult.
We're talking Sons, Lords of Salem. Is that what we're doing?
Oh, they made that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't dig that?
Yeah.
I was talking about real life, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, I disagree. I think the mainstream audience does love the occult. Because, I mean, I think you notice occult movies always do better in religious countries. Because if that is so ingrained in your culture like it is here, or, you know, a lot of other places, that really speaks to, you know, forces you have absolutely no control over. Like, say you got a slasher, say you got a monster, even zombies, something like that, that's physical. You can take on that on. I mean, even ghosts, you know, there's always, it's tied to the spirit of someone who was killed in this building 300 years ago tonight or whatever. But you get into Satan, you get into demons, you get into, you know, that kind of stuff. That is the kind of thing that is completely beyond anybody's understanding, and that's what really scares people. And that's why I think there's always been kind of a fascination with that.
So what elements does a movie about the occult need to succeed without, I guess not with mainstream audiences, but with real hardcore horror fans?
Orgies.
Orgies.
Hardcore satanic orgies.
So that's what the horror genre needs, is hardcore satanic orgies.
And virgins.
I think we just pretty much solved all of the problems of the horror genre world. What do you think, Nathan?
Hardcore satanic orgies is always a great place to start. The other thing I think you need an actual scary protagonist. There's been a lot of goofy-ass Satanists in movies, and that doesn't, you know, you get some goofy-ass Satanists, you end up with the Devil's Reign, you know, something like that. But if you can't go for, you know, if you're, say you're having possession, you can't have like some milk toast possession. No, you got to go straight. Your mother sucks cocks in hell. You know, you have to go, you know, all out with it. You got to have an actual scary protagonist and, of course, crazy satanic orgies.
So you're saying that like Julian Sands doesn't work for the horror genre for occultness?
I love those movies. I love the Warlock movies, but if you want to actually get someone creeped out or scare someone, you really got to have something big.
Yeah. So we've talked about exorcism and possession in the last, like, previous podcasts. But these two subject matters manifest themselves quite a lot in occult movies. So which vessel of possession is more terrifying? Like a child, man, woman, cow?
For me, the unholy cow would be the scariest thing humanly possible. I've spent some time in cow pastures over my days, hunting for shrooms and shit. So I know what a cow is capable of. A possessed cow is one of the scariest things I can possibly imagine.
Oh my God.
But I think for mainstream audiences, what scares them in a possession movie, what you have possessed has to, the threat is directly proportional to the vulnerability of the what's possessed. Like, you don't see a lot of possessed men in movies, but you see women and children a lot. So I think the more innocent something is, the more people get creeped out by it being corrupted.
How about a house?
A house? Dude, we can all, everybody can identify with hearing a weird noise in your house and being freaked out, and your house actually freaking you out. And it's supposed to be your domicile, you know, your place of sanctuary. And if it turns against you, you're just fucked.
Yeah.
You know? So a house gets it.
Brad?
I'm going squirrel.
A possessed squirrel. How about a turkey?
No, turkeys don't work. Squirrels are always after nuts. So, you know, if a possessed squirrel were to come after said nuts, I'd be terrified.
So like real nuts, you mean?
Aren't they all real nuts?
I guess
Chaz Bono. Well, you know, yeah. Authentic nuts.
So possessed squirrel. I got a question. Voodoo and black magic are subjects that I think a lot of Americans don't understand. And I think that it adds to the terror they find in these movies on this subject. What are some of the standout voodoo horror movies that you can think of that come to mind?
You know, I like the old, you know, white zombie, you know.
Ooh, good one.
That's just classic to me. Obviously, Serpent in the Rainbow. I mean, there's a million voodoo movies, but
how about Marked for Death with Steven Seagal?
Wow.
How about Erotic Nights of the Living Dead?
Ooh.
Joe D'Amato, fucking zombies on a voodoo island.
That one's pretty good.
Actually, there's a couple I want to mention. Like, first and foremost, when someone says voodoo movie, the first thing pops in my mind is Angel Heart.
Oh, mm-hmm. Great movie.
I love Angel Heart. The second would probably be I Walked with a Zombie, because you can't touch Val Lewton as far as atmosphere goes, ever. And the third one is actually not a movie. It's a season 3 episode of Tales from the Crypt called Dead Weight.
Ooh, I have not seen that in ages.
It's actually my second favorite episode ever behind Cutting Cards. That's the one with, I can never remember the dude's name, the guy that played Ajax in the Warriors.
No.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, now I'm going to look it up. Cause
got him and Whoopi Goldberg and John Rhys Davies and Vanity. And he goes to steal this black pearl from John Rhys Davies, and he ends up falling victim to a voodoo cult. It's maybe the finest moment of that season, which is one of the better seasons. So that one, and it was directed by Tobe Hooper, which it might have been the last really great thing he did. So.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. James Remar was Ajax.
Yeah.
Everyone will know him from Dexter as Dexter's father or potential father or guardian or whatever the hell you want to call him. He was also in Django Unchained, which I forgot.
It's also really cool, and if you can find it, because it's tough to track down, called Voodoo Blood. It's never gotten a DVD release, but it stars Tony Todd and Gina Gershon. Really cool flick.
Orgy scene?
No, but that's the first time I ever saw Gina Gershon's tits was in that movie.
Before Bound.
Yeah. Oh, Bound. Actually, speaking of that, do you count Bride of Chucky as a voodoo movie?
I think yes, because it was possession of the doll. So yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, but she used a voodoo ritual to put his soul into the doll.
True.
Well, all of Chucky's technically a voodoo movie.
Yeah. Jennifer Tilly. Guys will have to pardon me a moment.
So, what scares you more, voodoo or satanic ritual movies?
Voodoo.
Running from a magic.
Yeah. I think the same with me. I mean, like, there's just something about a voodoo film that it's, and I'm not sure if it's the fact that I don't understand what's going on or if I understand it completely and it still scares the fucking shit out of me. I'm not sure which one it is.
If Jack Black and Kyle Gass can take down the devil, I got it handled, you know?
Right.
I'm kind of two minds on that, because number one, voodoo, you look at, like, the zombie powders and the stuff like that, there's actually a scientific basis for some of the voodoo powers and that kind of thing, which is freaky, because that has a better chance of being real than Satanism. But then you've got not even being scared of Satan or Satanists or whatever, but there's few things scarier than, like, a bunch of misguided kids who just want, who get caught up in Satanism and just go out and do some horrific shit. That could be truly frightening. So there's really two ways to look at that.
True. Or you can have a Rastafarian coming at you with a needle and a voodoo doll of yourself, and he's, like, caressing your nutsack.
Goes back to possessed squirrels.
Always after the nuts.
So here we go. Wes Craven and John Carpenter, they kind of made their living in the 80s with some pretty decent films, but they took stabs at the occult. In like late 80s, I think we were going. So I'm not going to, you know what? I am going to put you on the spot. Prince of Darkness or Serpent in the Rainbow, which one reigns supreme?
Prince of Darkness. It's got Alice Cooper. I mean, seriously, suck it, Craven.
For me, this all comes down to a question of Prince of Darkness is Alice Cooper and that great theme song, but Serpent in the Rainbow's got the dick nail scene.
It does have the dick nail scene.
So it's tough to say. They're both great movies. Like, if you're talking about which one do I enjoy watching more, Prince of Darkness. Serpent in the Rainbow's got the better atmosphere, but, God, Prince of Darkness has got to take that one.
Yeah. Serpent in the Rainbow's dated. Like, I watched it recently. I mean, what's his name? Pullman. Is it Pullman? I get Pullman.
Yes,
Paxton.
Bill Pullman.
Yeah, Pullman Paxton. It's a great performance, but, I don't know. Wes Craven's movies don't hold up that well. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street does, but Carpenter's, you know, except for the last 15 years, they've held up.
There is an eternal primal fear associated with getting your dick nailed to a chair. That will live on forever as a moment that guys can't watch without cringing.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up with, you know, that Brad said about holding up, because I actually have watched both of them recently when I was doing the notes for this podcast. And I agree with you on The Serpent and the Rainbow. It, you know, it really has a difficult time of, I just couldn't bring myself into the film like I think I did 10, 15 years ago. But Prince of Darkness is still a pretty fucking great movie. So,
and an incredible song.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the pantheon of horror movie theme songs, that's up there with, like, Killer Clowns from Outer Space and some of the greats.
Donald Pleasance.
And it does have Donald Pleasance, too. Yeah. So mainstream motion picture companies tried to jump on the occult bandwagon in the 90s. I'm sure that we remember some of these interesting film choices. We had the lighthearted Hocus Pocus, that stupid-ass teen witch film, The Craft, and The Devils of Rizabalk. No, have you seen her lately? Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
I prefer to remember her as she was.
Yeah, me too. God.
Although, I don't know, her in that cop uniform in Bad Lieutenant Protocol is pretty good. That's like really hot and one of my greatest fears mixed together. You know, that has a way of getting to you.
So here's a question. Is fanaticizing the occult smart business for Hollywood?
Hell yeah, it is. Kids love that shit.
Yeah, but think about it from a moral standpoint.
Hollywood. Did you just mention morals? Hollywood and morals in the same sentence?
I'm just saying.
Think about it. Take a bunch of kids, all right? We're talking middle school, early high school, and they're having a sleepover. What are they doing? They've got the Ouija board out. They're doing Liza Feather Stiff as a board. They're doing Bloody Mary. They're saying, you know, the occult will always, you know, appeal to that demographic, and it would be stupid of them not to exploit that.
Yeah, well, that would make sense because Ouija the movie is coming out in October.
Jesus,
I liked it better the first time I saw it when it was called Witchboard.
Oh, that one was so good. So good. I'm going to switch gears here and ask you about Constantine. I'm going to do it. I don't care if you laugh. The character has been extremely popular, whether you believe it or not, in the comic world, and is translated to a vastly underrated movie in 2005. Yes, it was underrated. But this year, there's a season premiere in September of the new NBC series, which I've actually been able to see the pilot. And Brad, you saw it too, right?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good, isn't it?
It is, but my thing, it's not, sadly, and God, whoever's listening to this, I will never say this again. The lead was not as good as Keanu.
Whoa!
I will never say that again about anyone reprising
roles. Come on.
Reeves as Robert. How bad does he have to be?
I thought Keanu was okay in Constantine. The Keanu movie wasn't good.
I've watched Constantine once since I saw it in the theater, and I pretty much fast-forwarded until I got to Peter Stormare's scenes.
It's not that bad. And you know what? Matt Ryan is going to be fine as Constantine. I think taking a movie pilot on its first look isn't necessarily the best thing to do. So, I mean, I think it's going to be okay.
One question.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen it, and I know someone asked this in a group I was in. Do they let Constantine smoke in the show?
He has a cigarette in his hand. You don't actually see him smoking.
Because I know that, mainstream media is really weird about showing characters smoking, and that's, like, actually a big part of his character. So I didn't know if they were going to let him do that or not.
Yeah, they don't actually I'm glad that they didn't give him an e-cigarette. They actually has a cigarette in his hand.
That would be hilarious.
They just don't show him smoking.
He's vaping the entire time through his ears, He's like, whoa, I vape through my ears.
But here you go. How does a tormented demon hunter translate to mainstream audience success? Like, what did NBC think they were going to get out of this pot, like the series?
The only thing, I don't think it's going to, I'm not saying it won't be good eventually, but I don't think it's going to last. It's too crowded of a, once again, it goes back to Hollywood. They see all these horror shows working and they're just churning out shit. Like, there's no way in hell it's going to be anywhere near as brilliant as Hannibal's been. And it's not going to hit the Walking Dead numbers. And, I mean, the strain's not that great as of whatever five episodes in. But I don't think there's room for it. Like, it's going to get pushed to the side. I mean,
Supernatural just got picked up for a 10th season. And what is that if not a tormented demon hunter show? It could happen.
Yeah, but the teen girls masturbate, like, secretly while their parents are asleep to those two guys. I mean, I don't see them doing it to this guy. Oh, gee, shitty diaper guy?
Maybe. I jerk off thinking about that car. Oh, that Impala.
Yeah, but think about this. They're going to put it at 10 o'clock behind Grimm on a Friday night.
I hate Grimm.
That's my point is, like they tried Dracula at that point. It didn't work. Like, is it going to have a problem trying to find its audience, or is it going to have a built-in audience that watches Grimm, or would they have been better off putting it like a tag team with Hannibal?
No, they would have been better off putting it on a pay station and following it by like the Preacher miniseries, on HBO on a Saturday night, where people are just drinking and like, fuck yeah, you can't neuter these comics. Like,
I agree 100%. I'm not
bullshit. You can't neuter them. Like, I don't know.
I'm not going to stick up for NBC, but I'm just saying, like, this is where it is. I mean, how can it succeed?
I think Friday night is the perfect night to put it, honestly. I was actually just having this conversation with someone about the X-Files. Think about it.
Friday night at 9.
What is Constantine's target audience?
Yeah.
Comic book geeks. All right? That if you put any show that, you put it on Friday night, that's one of the demographics that's more likely to not have anything going on Friday night.
Oh, stop.
We were just talking the other day about X-Files. Sci-fi fans, you put that on Friday night, you maintain your audience. Whereas if you put a show that, that appeals to a general audience, you might not. That's one of the reasons it succeeded at that time slot. I think putting a show like that on a Friday night is kind of smart, personally.
Yeah, but the comic book guys are just going to be going down on the anime girls, and then they'll torrent the show.
Yeah, good point.
So we've
kind of disparaging to comic book fans. I'm a horror fan. That's not much different. You know?
I hear you. So we've segued a little bit far away, but let's segue back. There's been some really bad movies. Are we going to kill Ty West again on this episode?
I would hope so.
Every time you put a mic in front of us, we will fucking rag on Ty West.
I'm going to say the words then. Joe Schwamberg.
Oh, Schwamberg. Although, the only Ty West movie I like wasn't a cult movie. So it fits. It fits in this discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, but there was no Schwamberg in that movie.
Which is maybe why that was the good one.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Mr. Trump.
That's okay. So there's been some really bad movies about the occult.
Mm-hmm.
Any that we want to tell the audience to avoid, like the plague?
Ding, ding, ding. Here we go, people. For those that have actually listened to an episode before, here's Brad's Jim Wynorski moment. Ghoulies 4. Horrible movie.
Ghoulies 4? Come on. We're talking
Jim
about...
Jim Wynorski directed it.
But it's...
Ghoulies 4. Okay. Avoid it. There's hipsters out there that are drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon listening to this, and they're like, you know what? I'm going to watch, like, a cool underground movie. Oh, that Wynorski guy, he's cool, you know? And they'll be like, ooh, Ghoulies 4. It's like gremlins coming out of a toilet, you know? And, not good. Not good.
Nathan, do you have something to top Ghoulies 4?
Oh, God. I was going to bust out, like, Satan's School for Girls or... The Wicker Man remake? I don't know if I can top Ghoulies. How about the witchcraft movies? What is there, like 23 of those? the softcore witch flicks? They're terrible.
I think they've reached part pi at this point.
Right? Part infinity. They're just going to keep putting them out. Those are probably ones that there's choice scenes worth watching, but overall, no.
Yeah, I went through this and I was thinking about some of the pretty bad ones that have come out lately. I was thinking about The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp. I mean,
oh, I love that movie.
It's to me, I mean, there's his mustache, everything. There's a lot of things about the film that really didn't work. It was a limp adaptation of The Dumas Club, which I actually thoroughly enjoyed that book, that novel. Legion was terrible.
Oh, God, Lee.
Yeah. Fucking.
Terminator 2 with angels?
Yeah. Awful fucking movie. One of the worst.
Was Priest.
Priest was pretty bad, too.
Yeah, like, I forget the director's name, but he shouldn't be letting near a camera, ever.
Well, I have one that may top everything.
Uh-oh.
Bless the Child.
Oh, God, I'd forgotten about
that. Oh, good God, Kim Basinger.
Oh,
she did such an amazing impression of a cardboard. Unbelievable.
Wait a minute. Jennifer's Body.
Oh.
Satanic Ritual.
Or Season of the Witch with Perlman and Nicolas Cage.
Do a bad occult movie double feature with the Wicker Man remake and Season of the Witch.
I may wind up with like a stake through my eyeball.
See, I have not watched the Wicker Man remake because the original is so high on my list, like, of Holy Grail movies where I will hunt you down if you say you hate the original Wicker Man.
Ooh, let's go recent. How about Devil's Due?
I didn't see Devil's Due. I'm glad I didn't.
That was shit. Don't ever watch that.
Has anybody ever seen... Have you guys seen Five Girls? Came out in 2006.
Mm-mm.
It was
Five
like...
Five Girls, One Cup?
No. It was like this satanic, like attractive girls dressed up as naughty schoolgirls and they try to resist evil temptations kind of thing. It was so fucking bad. I think Ron Perlman was in it.
Hmm. Well, recent good one. Let's give Andrew a shout out since he didn't show up. All Cheerleaders Die.
Yes. Good. Yes. Give it up.
It's satanic.
Yeah, it's better.
Well, no, it's occultish. No Satan, but
it's definitely better than The Covenant.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So we'll give you props, little douche, for not showing up. But you get a little props from us. But we'll talk to you soon, Andrew. Flip side, best occult film out there into your mainstream?
In mainstream or in my mainstream?
Either indie or mainstream. Either one.
No. We have to pick one?
Just a couple, yeah.
Okay.
Let's go. I mean, if anyone has ever listened to my podcast at picking-brains.com, which Nathan wonderfully shows up on from time to time, you will know the epicness of Ken Russell's The Devils. God, I love that movie. If you want to see nuns masturbating with bones, that is the movie to watch. And I still say Lords of Salem. I love that movie. And obviously The Wicker Man, the original, not the... But with The Devils, you have to find the right version. Like, there's a million different versions, and they cut out tons of shit. But there's nuns masturbating with, you know, bones from a burned priest and all kinds of shit. It's... Every satanic movie, I believe, is stolen from Ken Russell's The Devils.
How about the Suspiria and Inferno movies?
Nathan, you're an Argento lover.
Argento, he... Honestly, my favorite occult movie Argento ever did isn't technically an Argento movie. He was the executive producer on it. It's The Church.
Ooh, yes.
The Church is awesome.
That's Bavi?
Suave,
yes.
Yeah,
it's a cemetery man.
Yeah, exactly. It's got like everyone trapped in a satanic church. It's got the greatest Baphomet rape ever filmed. That is an incredible movie. The other one, probably my top, would be Night of the Demon. Not Night of the Demons, which those are good too, but Night of the Demon, the one with Dana Andrews from 1950-something or other, black and white flick. Awesome movie. Really cool. As far as there's one called Alucarda. It's a Brazilian flick, all about things going on at a school for girls that, you know, completely satanic stuff at a nunnery type of deal. there's one came out a couple years ago called The Disco Exorcist that I really liked. And there's one other one called Satan Hates You.
Satan Hates You?
Yeah. Have you heard of this one?
I have.
Do you know what a chick tract is? Those little tracks that they used to have, little comic books that they gave out to lure you into church. It's like one of those come to life. It's like a Christian scare film that stars Reggie Bannister and Michael Berryman. It's outstanding. I highly recommend that one.
Yeah, another one, Nathan, that you turned me on to, which I guess, spoiler alert, you know, the WNUF Halloween special.
Oh, that one was awesome.
You know, that might ruin it, tagging it as this, but yeah, God, that was unbelievable with the way that ended, and it goes into so much of what we've discussed tonight.
I'm going to go with Ty West's House of the Devil.
Oh, fuck. God damn you, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, fuck you both. I'm doing it.
Although, I actually love that movie, but I just hate that man so bad.
It's actually, funny enough, I'm actually, have you either one of you seen The Devils?
Yes.
Oh, the Ken Russell flick?
The Oliver Reed movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah. So that's one of my top occult film. I mean, you throw a bunch of nuns in together and throw Satanism and all kinds of crap, and it's just pretty fucking amazing. Ken Russell does a phenomenal job directing.
Speaking of Oliver Reed, if you watch episode one of the Son of Celluloid show, which is on YouTube, you can find it. There'll be a new episode coming up at the beginning of next week. You can hear Tom Tolles tell some great stories about Oliver Reed getting absolutely smashed on the set of Bending the Pendulum.
What?
Yeah.
That's freaking
funny. He's talking about him at dinner pissing in wine bottles under the table and shit. It's
great. My God. All right, so that kind of brings me up to one other thing. You're going to lead me into it because we just talked about pissing in bottles and shit. Which actor plays or played the devil best? Could be TV, could be movies, doesn't matter. The devil.
There's so many good ones. There was like, some of you wouldn't think, like Elizabeth Hurley and Bedazzled would probably be the most tempting devil I could think of.
Oh, she's
plus, good. Like I always said, I know the devil's a woman. There's a movie called Mr. Frost starring Jeff Goldblum. It's never really explicitly stated whether he's Satan or the Antichrist, but he is excellent in that flick. The chick who played Satan in Passion of the Christ, or the Jerusalem Jesus Massacre, as I call it, I thought was did a really good job, but the edge is going to have to go to De Niro and Angel Heart.
Yeah, that's what I agree.
De Niro takes this one.
Yeah, and one that, you know, it was a TV, I mean, it was huge when it came out, and people bash it to shit now. And Affleck tried to remake it, and everyone's tried to remake it, and it'll never happen. Is Randall Flagg from The Stand.
He was really good, too.
Played him. You know, I can't remember the guy, the actor's name. He's done other stuff. But for 1990s TV and what they could get away with, he was amazing.
I know it's not a popular movie because we already talked about it, but I actually thought Peter Stormer was great as the devil in Constantine.
Yeah.
I think he just came off like with that edge that you need to kind of like the Robert De Niro-ish edge that from Angel Heart, where it's kind of just like he just kind of knows what he's going to get out of you, and it's just going to kind of do it anyway.
And Dave Grohl and Pick of Destiny, you know.
No.
He was gonna fuck Jables, you know? God damn you, Tenacious D haters. God damn you all to hell.
I don't hate the D. I do not hate the D.
They are the D. Nathan does, but
I'm not a fan.
It's okay. Everyone has to love someone with Down syndrome, and I love Jack Black.
So yeah.
It's fucking random.
Put it on the board.
Yeah, put it on the board. There we go. The board's still there. That's good to know.
So occult films will continue to haunt our theaters for years to come, I'm sure. And we can expect that Hollywood's horror hopefuls will make them great. We really hope. Well, that's all we have for tonight. Nathan, shameless plug.
All right, go to YouTube and look up Son of Celluloid. You can find some of my interviews, all of my episodes of the Son of Celluloid show. www.sonofcelluloid.com is the blog site. And on the From Dusk Till Con Network, I actually have two new podcasts. One's called Horror Business. That's where we talk about the untold stories of the unsung heroes of the horror business. The people who you might not think deserve the glory, but damn it, they do. And the other one is Missing Link Mixtape, where I play some killer tunes. They all have a theme going through them, and if you guess it, you can win a fabulous prize. So go to the From Dusk Till Con Network. I'm on Mondays at 10. Check that out. But mainly, check out the Son of Celluloid show on YouTube.
Brad, any updates on the mop?
Beats the hell out of me. We're going to be shooting a new one in September. It's going to tackle immigration reform, and it's going to be a musical. For, once again, Nathan's awesome horror business. If you want to hear me say fuck, what was the count, Nathan? 287 times?
Something like that.
Yeah.
If you make a drinking game out of it and go to the hospital for alcohol poisoning.
Just get annihilated. My podcast is at picking-greens.com. And but Devil I Forgot that just came to my head is Bill Cosby and the Devil and Mr. Webster.
Nice.
Who doesn't love Jell-O Pudding Pops?
How about Jack Nicholson?
Which, yeah, that's a good one.
He was a good Satan, too.
No.
Anybody in that M. Night Shyamalan devil fucking movie. I think we can just say that to be with all sincerity.
That was actually the Dowell brothers, unfortunately.
I have no love for anything M. Night Shyamalan has ever done.
Joaquin Woodbine was the devil, but I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, Pacino was great.
Really?
Really?
I thought it was good. Over the top, man. Satan's probably an absolute over the top psycho.
Hoo-ah!
Raping Charlize Theron?
Yeah. That one I can't go with, but I can go with George Burns.
All right. Ooh. Oh, God.
You devil.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. We'll see you in the theaters. I'm usually the one sitting behind you, breathing heavily in your left ear. Good night.
Support independent horror and hail Satan!